Pastor Ray Bentley highlights today's study on Maranatha Radio.
When the children of Israel stepped into Jericho and into the land of Canaan, you know what God was bringing? Revival. He was casting out the generations of demonic, violent strongholds and replace it with peace and love and joy and the fruit of the Spirit and paving the way for the Messiah to come. The whole story of redemption from the Old into the New Testament is God bridging that gap.
Spreading the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We see a picture of God's redemption with every breath we take. Every time we breathe, it's out with the old, in with the new. That's a picture of how God wants to replace our old sinful life with a fresh new life in Him. And today, Pastor Ray shows us how that dynamic reaches all the way back to the Old Testament.
Okay, the story of Rahab the prostitute, harlot as she is called. So I started off with a shady lady becomes glorious. The story of Rahab. So beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly inside the walls of the city of Jericho, saying, 'Go and then from there view the land, but especially Jericho.'" That would be their first point of contact and conquest into the promised land. So they went and they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now, as we find, this is how this story begins. He sends the two spies in. The heart of the story all of a sudden goes away from, you know, the 2 million children of Israel crossing over, going to the land in Jericho. There's this parenthesis. And he gives quite a bit of time and attention to this, obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole story about a woman named Rahab. And the heart of the story is that God has come to Canaan to bring deliverance and salvation. In other words, yes, God loves his chosen people and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then through the prophets and genealogy and the Messiah will come. But God also used Israel wherever they went to be a light and to be a witness, and because he loved them. That's why he stops and focuses on this one Canaanite woman named Rahab. So, verses 2 and 3. "And then it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.' And so the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country.' Then the woman took the two men and hid them." If you have a pen or pencil, underline that. She hid the spies amidst great danger to herself, by the way. And so she said, well, yeah, so they're sent by the king. Hey, the jig's up. We know that there's two spies that came. We know there's 2 million of them on the other side of the river. They sent the two guys, and they're at your house. We heard about it. The king wants, so where are they? Deliver them. And she said, yes, the men came to me. She didn't deny that, but I did not know where they were from. That's not true. Verse 5, "And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. And where the men went, I do not know. Ooh, you better hurry, pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. And then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And they went chasing after these guys. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. You say, well, where did Joshua get this idea of sending spies in? Well, he got it from 40 years earlier when Moses sent in 12 spies. So he said, hey, Moses saw God, talked with God face to face, and knew that God was miraculous, and Moses did signs and wonders, but he also was practical, and he sent in 12 spies. And Joshua was one of those 12 spies. He does the same thing Moses did. He wanted to know how the people of the land were reacting to the arrival of these millions of people who have traveled miraculously through the wilderness and with a miraculous God stronger than the gods of Egypt. Now, I want to make a practical application. We are God's spies for the kingdom of heaven for such a time as this. The kingdom of heaven. God is all about bringing the kingdom of heaven to the earth. The Garden of Eden was on top of a mountain on the earth, and in the Garden of Eden was heaven and the presence and the glory of God. Heaven and earth were one. But then sin came, the fall came, and there was a division, a separation, as it were, between heaven and earth. The whole story of redemption from the Old into the New Testament is God bridging that gap and coming back to the mountain. That's what Mount Sinai was all about. God bringing, again, heaven back to the earth. And so Jesus came and he brought heaven to the earth. Signs, wonders, miracles, healings. Everywhere Jesus went, heaven came when he raised the dead and healed the sick, and everything that he did was heaven. And then now his followers and believers, as Jesus went back up to heaven, but he said, I'm coming back and I'm bringing my power and my glory and my authority and heaven itself to the earth. In the meantime, the church is really God's spies. We're his spies, and we're behind enemy lines. It's already bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus, but the Lord hasn't come to take full possession of everything that he bought and purchased 2,000 years ago, but he is, and he's coming. And in the meantime, there's a spiritual battle going on, just like in Jericho, and we are his spies for such a time as this. And I want to say to you then, as a spy, what is our job? What was the real purpose of the spies? And the whole second chapter of Joshua is this. God really sent the two spies in to find Rahab so that she could be saved and her family. I want to suggest to you that every one of us has, maybe some of you were a Rahab, and now you've been given that new identity in Jesus Christ. But maybe you have a Rahab in your family. Someone that you know and someone that you love. And what we sometimes do is we judge them and we say, oh, they're not the right kind of people to be, you know, part of us, the holy people, royal priesthood and all that. No, the people of God is it's messy. It's very messy. And really, when the children of Israel stepped into Jericho and into the land of Canaan, you know what God was bringing? Revival to the land of Canaan. He was casting out the generations of demonic, evil, wicked, violent strongholds, and replace it with heaven on earth and peace and love and joy and the fruit of the Spirit and paving the way for the Messiah to come. And so Rahab was filled, she was overwhelmed with falling in love. She fell in love with this God that she heard about because he was not only powerful, he was good and he was just and he was fair and he saves, and he saved her. So God's called us as spies. We need to bring Rahabs into the kingdom of God, not judge them. One of the biggest problems we have, we're in the 21st century, but one of the main problems we have in the world in this modern time is sex trafficking, where young boys and girls, not after they're, 12 and on up into teenagers, before they're 12, who are bought and sold as little pieces of property and given to these evil rings, and they're trapped, just like maybe Rahab was. And God loves them, and God wants to reach out to them, and God wants to redeem them. And so when God pours out his Spirit and when he starts bringing in the Rahabs, it can get messy, but that's what revival is like. And God doesn't mind the mess, because he gives a new identity and a new calling and a new purpose. Can I hear an amen on that? So let's deal briefly with the fact, though, that Rahab deceived the king about the two spies. She lied. She hid them. And she said, yeah, they went down that way a long time ago. Go catch them. And she sends them off that way. Is this lying, and is lying okay? Well, no. The Bible clearly teaches that God's word is truth and that God wants us to live in truth, and lying is not okay. But I want to suggest to you something different about this story, because there's nothing that God puts in there and says, and then I rebuked Rahab for deceiving the guys that wanted to find the spies, which they would have surely killed them. There's no comment on it at all. So is there something unique about this story, different about this story, that puts it in another category that we have to be careful for judging what was going on there? And I believe that it is. And the difference is, if you want to write it down, this was war. This was war. When George Washington retreated from New York City in August of 1776, so this is, you know, the American Revolution is this kind of new, fledgling, burgeoning, you know, ragtag army going against the British Empire's army, navy. And the British had George Washington and the heart of his army trapped and pinched at this certain point. At that moment, the Revolutionary War was almost over. Had they been captured, had they been killed or defeated at that moment, America would not be today. But interesting, history says that on that morning when Washington realized, I blew it, we're trapped, there was a fog that came. And so the soldiers couldn't really see. And during the several hours of that mysterious fog, Washington did one of the smartest things tactically that at times you need to do in war, and that's retreat. Sometimes you take a step back so you can fight at another day. Well, with that experience, realizing that he could not defeat the British with military might, Washington developed a deeply secretive intelligence network that changed the war and the course of history. It was very small, very tight, only a handful or so that would even know about this, but they made the difference. So it's called the Culper Spy Ring. How many of you have heard of the Culper Spy Ring? Spies were used to bring America about so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms we have today. Spies? Is that, you know, godly? Is that biblical? Hey, it was in the days of Jericho, and it was in the days of the American Revolution. Let's bring it up even more. In World War II, there's a very famous, infamous day called D-Day. How many of you have heard of D-Day? Which also used a network of spies to deceive Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, and imagine what would have happened if we had lost and the Nazis had won World War II. But they kept this secret as they brought together over 160,000 Allied troops, and on June 6, 1944, those 160,000 landed in Normandy, France. And those spies, because they weren't ready for it and they deceived the enemy, it changed the course of the war, and many say the course of history. Warren Wiersbe is a Bible commentator and pastor, and here's one of his quotes, in particular about the story of Rahab and what she did, but the circumstances under which she did it. He says this, and I quote, "Many people have been honored for deceiving the enemy during wartime and saving innocent lives, and this was war." So it's interesting that we have to be ready. I'm going to share with you a couple of things that Jesus has said to his disciples, because we're in a spiritual battle right now. He said to his disciples, "I'm sending you out into the world as lambs among wolves." So if you're a believer, your role is you're a lamb. If it's a lamb and a wolf, you know, one-on-one, here is all of the defenses given to the lamb. It can go, that's it. They can't fly, they can't run fast. God has given all the animal kingdom some form of self-defense. Lambs have no internal capacity of self-defense. Therefore, a lamb, well, did God give a lamb any defense at all? Absolutely. You got to be close to the shepherd. A lamb's got to be at the heels of the shepherd, close to the shepherd. The wolf won't get anywhere near. He's not afraid of the lamb. He'll tear you. But the shepherd will kill him with one blow, with a short wooden stick. And the wolf knows it and stays away. So we got to stay close to the flock. And the flock needs to stay close to the shepherd, Jesus. But Jesus also said this to us, who are like his spies behind enemy lines. He said, "You need to be wise as serpents." gentle as doves. Now, he doesn't say, so a serpent is like a symbol of the devil. He's not saying, I want you to use the wisdom of the serpent or the wisdom of the devil. What he is saying is this serpent has a form of wisdom, and he uses that selfish, carnal, evil wisdom against you. So you better have the wisdom of God. Be wise as a serpent. Know that you're in a spiritual battle. And then, but your character is you're gentle as a dove. As you are close to the Lord and close to the shepherd, his peace, his presence, his glory is around you. But we need to live wisely. And I think Rahab and the whole story of these spies gives us that. Okay, let's go to the next life lesson. And let's go back to Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. It says, now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. So now she sent, you know, the guys that wanted to kill the spies, they're running down a rabbit trail. She goes up to the roof, verse 9, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Oh man, that's quite a testimony. The people in Jericho are terrified of you and the power of your God. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, and spare my mother, spare my brothers and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. One of the greatest assets in our battle with the enemy is our testimony. In verses 8 through 11, what Rahab knows about God before the spies ever get there is phenomenal. Number one, God has given you the land. Number two, the fear of the Lord has come upon us. One of the things God told Moses is, I will go with you and I will go before you. I will fight your battles for you and I will put the fear of the Lord into the hearts of your enemies. And now the spies find out, wow, it's true. They're afraid of us. Do you know what that did to their courage? The Lord has given to us Jericho. Number three, I know that your God is powerful and supernatural because he delivered you from Egypt. And fourth, and this is the best of all, she concluded that you, your God, could save me and my family. And she begged for salvation. And she was right in her calculation because God not only saved her, he put her into the line and lineage of the very Messiah, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our testimony is very powerful in this world, and we need to be sharing with the Rahabs that God might be bringing into our lives. Rahabs are attracted to spies that are spies for the kingdom of heaven. And we have, therefore, a responsibility of sharing the good news and the truth and the love of God and the forgiveness of God, that they can have a new identity in Christ. Now look, in this journey, we're all learning about the passion that God has for us. And I want you to know this. Every time you turn your thoughts toward God, I want you, he's not just up there, you know, kind of casually floating around. Every time you think of him, his gaze is upon you. Every time you look up, you'll find him looking down. So how does he feel about me? He is madly, passionately, deeply burning in love with you. And our job, first of all, is to allow ourselves to receive and be consumed with that burning, passionate love. And the more that you feel his love and you trust that it's real and that it's legitimate, it begins to burn like fire. And finally, as you begin being filled with the passion of God, your worship starts being passionate back to him. God never asks you to give him something that he first hasn't given to you. He shows you how to love by the intense way he loves you. And then we just start reciprocating it. It's like the flow of water. You know how we, like here in San Diego, we got the Pacific Ocean out there. And then you know what happens? The sun's out there and the water kind of evaporates and it goes up and then it forms clouds and then it rains. And so the water goes up and the water comes down, and the water goes up and the water comes down. So with God, his love and his fire consume us. The more that you allow God's zealous, passionate, intense love to consume you and trust it and believe in it, then it starts changing you, transforming you, and you start loving God back the way he first loved you. That's how it works. Hallelujah. Let's close with Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. This brings us to the very end of the whole battle where the king is on his way back to defeat the devil. So let's read this out loud. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame who? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb, he paid the price for us. By the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. They weren't afraid to die. Because once you die, you're with the Lord. And once you're no longer afraid to die, then you can really start to live. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, we get to be spies for the kingdom of heaven. And that you providentially arranged these two spies would meet the one woman who was prepared in her heart by the stories she heard. She was just waiting to be rescued. And Lord, there are a lot of Rahabs, or the brothers of Rahabs, that live in our community. And I pray that we will not judge them, we will not put them at a distance, cast them aside, ignore them. But Lord, we'll realize we've been sent with a mission. And that what they're ultimately saying is, I've been waiting for you. And they're begging to be delivered from the enemy and from evil and from maybe the trappings of use and abuse. And they're begging for salvation. And we can bring that word of love and healing and good news and comfort and encouragement. So may we be faithful in our part so that we watch you be faithful in your part. And the next thing you know, we begin living and experiencing a miraculous God. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with an important study today in the book of Joshua. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of this study, get in touch and ask for God Comes to Save. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention the title, God Comes to Save. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key, and there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.